This is Bragging Rights, a show all about college football, where the conversations are lively, the topics are trivial, and the hosts are semi-knowledgeable. And now, here are your hosts, Madison and Pierce.
Welcome in to another edition of Bragging Rights, here to break down the national championship and get into happenings around college football. Yes, we technically left you hanging before the national championship. That's my fault. Technical issues. I won't get into it here. But we didn't want to leave you hanging forever. We're going to have some post-mortem stuff on the season and wrap it up more neatly than we have in the past years for y'all. So we decided to get into it. Before we do that, I need to introduce my co-host. I'm Madison. I'm joined, as always, by my brother Pierce. Pierce, how are you? Is anything happening around college football today, or has it been pretty quiet since the national championship?
Well, yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. We had a national championship, but, wasn't too interested in that, to be quite honest with you. I know that sounds pretty depressing, but doesn't matter now, because the news is out. The biggest news in all of sports. They're running the shows left and right on ESPN. Nick Saban, the GOAT, is out. Retired at the age of 72, baby.
The age of 72. Nick Saban, no longer the head coach in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He goes out a GOAT, but for a lot of people around the country, you're going to be hearing noises like this. It is time to celebrate if you're a Georgia Bulldog. No offense to our Bama listeners out there, but the demons have lasted long enough. And who knows what, we're going to get into the hires and stuff like that. But a lot of people around the country have been absolutely tormented by Alabama. He has been absolutely the best to ever do it. And, I said, he's the GOAT. Like, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll get into his legacy and stuff like that. But as of right now, it's college football is changing. End of an era in so many ways, including the Nick Saban news. I'm struggling really to put into words, Pierce. We don't want to gloat about it, because like I said, it is the changing of a guard, and you know, we want to pay our respects to the legacy of what has happened in Tuscaloosa. But like I said, the torment of being a team that has to face Nick Saban, and we're only lucky enough to do it in the SEC championship, playoffs. It's interesting to me that 2 years ago to this day, Kirby Smart took down Nick Saban for the first time to win the first national championship in 41 years. 2 years later, Saban announces he is retiring. So, landscape is a lot different. We're going to get into coaching rumors, who it seems like they're going to go after, who they should go after. But your thoughts right off the top about when we got the news. And I'll be honest with you, you know who the person who broke it to me is my boss at the podcast. It was in our Slack channel, and she's a Bama fan. And I was like, she's not like the biggest like sports person. So I was like, no, this can't be right. And 30 seconds later, my phone is blowing up. And I was like, oh, it's real. It is real. It's happening. So what are your thoughts with all of this?
Yeah, I had the news broken. It was kind of funny. I was at work, and we've heard rumblings for the last few years. I feel like there have been people that have kind of been making their predictions on him potentially being last season. Obviously, none of those have come to fruition. This year, saw some more of the same. I actually was on Twitter around 3 o'clock after I had finished up a call. Or maybe it was 2 o'clock, and I was looking on Twitter, and I came across a tweet by Message Board Genius. And I don't know who follows Message Board Genius out there. It's an account that goes on to and scours all the crazy message board antics across the country with college football teams and programs, and posts just the most ridiculous things. Most of them far-fetched, most of them untrue, a lot of them crazy. Very little truth in there. And he tweeted out something, and it was from an Auburn board. And the guy said, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was along the lines of, my sources tell me that Saban's holding a team meeting today at 4 o'clock. He is done. Like, hallelujah. And I looked on Twitter to see if there was anything else on there. And I was like, this is Message Board Genius. It can't be. There can't be any truth to this. Sure enough, I get on another call at 3:30. I end up about 450. Look at my phone. I have 65 missed text messages. And sure enough, I missed it. I missed the breaking news. So I was a little late to the party. But it's wild. It's funny to me. And you know, listen, the celebration that's going on in Auburn, Alabama, in Knoxville, Tennessee, in Athens, Georgia, and you name it, it's really a testament to how impressive of a run this has been for Alabama and Nick Saban, and a testament to Saban's greatness, because you don't celebrate, other teams don't celebrate your coach retiring or leaving their program if he's not a thorn in the side or a dominant coach. It just doesn't happen. So really, it's, you know, it's kind of jokes on us in a weird way, but it's interesting that the national championship was 2 days ago, and Michigan should be all high and mighty and the only thing that's being talked about. And now that's not even in the picture anymore, because Nick Saban dominates college football and dominates the new cycle. And that's what everybody is talking about. It's almost as if the national championship was played a year ago at this point. And it was just so happened to be, what, 48 hours ago? So pretty shocking stuff. It's the first time that I've really, honest to God, listened to certain podcasts and scoured through social media looking for college football stuff since the early week of December, or the first week of December. So it's nice to kind of get back in the fray of things. But it's shocking. It's just, you know, anytime a giant, a legend leaves the game, it's shocking. It does feel like, you know, he had a few more good years in him. I did get a text from one of my Bama buddies, and all he sent was, "It's over." So you're seeing
name names.
No, I'm not going to name names. he knows who he is. But so interesting to see the reaction there. The second thing that person did was call me, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "Do you think Kirby Smart would look at Alabama?"
Oh, shut up.
So that also transitions into something, you know, different. There are, you know, for the teams I named, the Auburns, the Tennessees, the Georgias that are celebrating right now, there are a lot of programs out there that are now, that, you know, freaked out. Mississippi.
Yes.
Eugene, Oregon. Austin, Texas.
Austin,
you name
Texas.
It. So
Washington, potentially?
It's a very interesting and dynamic situation here where, you know, it's not just a retiring coach. It affects the college landscape. I mean, you could be looking at it and two of the top five or six coaches in college football, if Harbaugh decides to leave for the NFL, like a lot of people think he will, you could have two of the top six coaches out in a blink of the eye. And that greatly changes the landscape of college football. So, there's already going to be a lot changing. Obviously, we go to the 12-team playoff next year. Everybody's still trying to get used to the name, image, and likeness. The transfer portal is dominating news and headlines over the last year and will only continue to do so. And now, with all these changes to the sport, you now have the greatest coach of all time that takes a just absolute bomb to and sets off just a firestorm to the sport of college football.
Absolutely. And I want to get into some of the coaching, you know, the coaching search that's going to probably the biggest ever, huge shoes to fill. I, like you, have been counseling some people. I've been getting it from both ends. I have had some people reaching out saying, "Ding dong, Saban's dead." That kind of, he's not actually, not RIP actually, but, maybe poor choice of words, my part, but you know, hey, the monkey potentially is off our back. The long nightmare's over. The other side of thing, I've got people, you know, not to be, not to mansplain to my friends, but I have, you know, being a girl, you know, they look for other girls in life that might know more sports than them. And so I've been kind of the point person for some Bama fans who are, you know, just being like, "Oh my gosh, what is happening? Worst day ever." And I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nice, but you know, it's hard to feel bad for them. I have a hard time feeling bad for them, and there really is no reason to, you know, what they have been able to accomplish as a team and what the fan base has been able to experience is things that people dream of. It's the kind of thing that, you know, we longed for what was I, how old was I when we won the national championship? I think I was 28, 27, whatever, you know, and I know, remember, you know, it actually popped up on my Snapchat memory for today. And I remember you grabbing me after we won the national championship and saying, "Oh my gosh, I've waited 30 years for this. I'm so excited." So it's hard to feel bad for them. What they are left with, what Bama is left with, is a phenomenal roster. Yes, there were some holes and some things that were not up to snuff of what they normally are. But a phenomenal roster, a great class. Now they do have now, the new recruiting class has 30 days, to now enter the transfer portal, and go somewhere. Granted, as long as they are able to enroll in the school. So I think if they've already enrolled, I'm fuzzy on this, but if they're already enrolled at Bama, I think they're already set there. I don't think, they can leave. But we've already had one before we popped on. Ryan Williams decommitted. He said one of the reasons I was coming to, or the biggest reason I was coming to Alabama, was for Saban. So you're going to see some things happen, and it's going to be a roller coaster ride for those Bama fans for the next little bit. But yeah, I mean, just again to touch on what Saban did. Obviously, he's got 7 rings, 6 of those in Bama. You know, the last one came in 2020. And I think, Pierce, to your point, with everything going on in college football and how it's all changing, I think he looks at it, he's 72 years old, and he probably was like, I got more money than I ever thought I would have growing up in West Virginia. And I'm already on ESPN all the time and getting paid to be on ESPN. And I could go off into the sunset and be on the lake with my grandkids, and I could go live in that house in Florida I just bought for millions of dollars. And enjoy my last, you know, decade plus of life, as opposed to be stressed out with all that has become college football to this point. Hey, well done. Good job. Happy for you. It kind of felt like it might happen. I've been predicting it for years just because of the age, because of the changing landscape of college football. And I didn't point this out. Somebody pointed this out to me, and I was like, oh, wow. His daughter, who is very active on social media and very much, you know, a champion for her dad, and as she should be, was posting some weird things during the season that kind of felt like, now looking back in retrospect, kind of felt like he might hang it up. But just shocking to have this hit on a random Wednesday, you know, after the college football playoff has ended. And he'd been out last week on the Pat McAfee show saying, hey, nope, I'm still good. I still like it. And it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you remember the video of him and Kirby before the SEC championship. And at the time, people were pointing to it and saying, hey, maybe this is like, he's done. And now obviously we know it kind of felt like a goodbye, congrats, good luck. And Saban came up to Kirby and he said, you know, I'm getting too old for this. And Kirby said, no, you're not. And Saban was just saying, hey, you've done a good job, you know, to be good for so long at this, you know, what you've done at Georgia, you know, with obviously winning back to back and stuff like that. And Kirby was paying him his, but it felt really emotional. And to look back now in his press conference, his post-game interview right after the Rose Bowl, he was super emotional. So I think he's known it's coming for a while. Who knows what he was telling these recruits and his team. But yeah, that news dropped a few hours ago at this point that he met with his team and told them. And I kind of never thought we would see the day. Truly shocked. But again, if you're a Bama fan listening, and I think we're mainly Georgia fans who listen to this, I think we have some stragglers. I know we've got like a Michigan fan, and we'll get to that. We'll get to the playoff and, you know, give you your accolades here in a bit. But if you're a Bama fan and you're listening, you're actually, yes, you're following the greatest coach of all time, but you're actually in a pretty good spot. You know, this is the best job, maybe the second best job in the country. It's kind of going to be like Ryan Day. You know how everybody says he was born on third base? It's kind of going to be like the next coach. And they got money to play with there at Alabama. So I'd imagine this coaching search is going to be a really interesting one. And you're going to hear every name thrown out, including Kirby Smart. I don't think that's going to happen. If it happens, I'll be shocked. Like you said to me in a text earlier, nothing is out of the question. But it kind of feels like maybe he's the only name that's probably going to say, no. But every other name, and you named a few, Dan Lanning at Oregon seems to be the runaway favorite. I've heard Kalen DeBoer at Washington with what he did in Seattle this year. That'd be a good name for them to go get. Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, he's wanted that job for as long as, I don't know, Twitter's been invented. Who else? Help me think of some names. Sarkisian from Austin, Texas. That could happen.
Glenn Schumann, defensive coordinator at Georgia.
So yes. Then you get into
D'Amico Ryans, head coach with the Texans.
Hold on, pause. So just from the who are already currently coaching in college football, those seem to be the four big hitters, right, of who they'd go after. And then you can get into the, yeah, there's the NFL coaches who have ties to Bama. There's the defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators who have ties to Alabama. The coaching tree is immense, and everybody who's got it seemingly has a tie to Alabama. Are there any other current head coaches in the college football you think might have a shot at this? I know a few years ago everybody would have said it's Dabo's job to lose. I'm not sure about that anymore, specifically because of some of his stances on the changing landscape of college football and what's been happening at Clemson recently. But I think those are the big four. I think those are the big four that you got to pay attention to as far as who I think their shortlist would be. And then you get into the defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, Glenn Schumann, the D'Amico Ryans. I'm trying to think of, you know, you can
Urban Meyer.
Please no. That would be the worst hire ever. That would be.
He's got to be a call.
He's got to be a call. He should be a call. He's a call for every single opening. It makes sense. I mean, the other thing is, think about
Bill Belichick.
Oh God, I don't. Bill Mike Belichick. Rabel. You think are those real names, or are you just now just throwing out people who you know are going to be searching for a job?
That's the latter.
Okay, I was going to say,
really? but you never know. I don't think Belichick would do it. I don't think Vrabel. I don't think D'Amico Ryans would do it just because he had such a good year with Houston. But
right.
You know, hey, they're going to throw a lot of money out there, and the you know. It's tough to follow a legend, but if you are a legend in your own mind, in your own right, a la Bill Belichick, I don't think they'd ever go after him. But I just threw that out because that was a fun name to say. But let's just say I don't think Vrabel would do it either. But let's just say Vrabel looked at that and went, you know, the roster's so set up. If I just get some good recruiters around me, where I don't have to deal with that as much, you know, I can win a couple national championships in the next 4 or 5 years. So. It's just interesting. I do think they have to make a splashy hire. Apparently, the first coach that they have reached out to is Dan Lanning. I would be very worried if I was in Eugene, Oregon, or Oxford, Mississippi, because I think those two would be willing to take that job. Although, I will say, if you're Dan Lanning, man, you got such a good thing going out there, and you're really picking it up on the recruiting trail. Why then switch to Alabama, where you've got to follow a legend? And on top of that, you're competing in the best conference in the country against people that you know that you know what they're made of and know what it's going to take to beat them out. And that's going to be a very tall ask. So I don't know. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know who would want to take that job just with how, you know, how hard it is to follow a legend. And plus, before Saban got there, it was – Alabama was a bit like Auburn, where all the donors, the heavy influencers there, kind of had their hands in everything.
Right.
And Saban had to come in there and tell them to piss off.
That was why he had so
I don't
much
know.
Success.
And a coach that was going to be able to do that moving forward is someone that's going to have standing already.
Yes.
A la an Urban Meyer. Yes. I don't think Dan Lanning can walk in there and say, bugger off, and I'm going to do my thing and you know, just pay me money and give me money to supply my staff and my players. So,
right. Well, because rings mean something, and I think the only reason that Saban had that ability to do that, and it's very well documented that that's what he did. He came in and he cleaned up the mess, and he said, listen, I'm coming here, I'm going to win, and if we want to win, which is a note why you hired me, and I've done it before, we're going to do it my way. I want you guys to stop meddling. And they did. They let him. The reason they had so much success, and it's so funny because right down the road, you know, a few hours in Auburn, it's been the opposite. They haven't learned the Saban method, the Alabama way. But they are going, you know, he came in and said, we're going to do it my way. They listened and they've had sustained success of something we've never seen before. So I do agree with you. I think if you, you know, I think maybe also Urban Meyer and maybe Dabo, because they have championship rings. I think they would have to go far down the list to get to Dabo at this point. But point is, I'm just thinking about names we've thrown out. Those two, I think, could come in and they could say, you know, hey, I'm taking, you know, the ship is mine, whatever. But I agree with you. If they go get, especially if they went and got Lane, I think that, you know, him having already been in the building and them knowing him, I could see them keeping, you know, the Lanes, the Dan Lannings, who, yes, he's had success out in Oregon, but he hasn't played for a championship or been in a playoff. And you know, same thing with Kalen DeBoer, who, yes, had a great year at Washington, but hasn't won a championship. I could see them trying to be like, this is the way we did it with Saban, and this is the way we're going to do it now. And I'm not sure that that's not going to be a big clash, because that's the other thing, Pierce, is yes, great job, set up fantastically. You're born on third base. Best chance to win a championship of any of the schools that we've listed, save maybe Sarkisian there in Austin, Texas. But who wants to follow that? Who wants to follow the shoes that is Nick Saban? Who wants to have to replace him? That's daunting, daunting task. And if you're not winning championships within, I would say, the first, like, what, 3-4 years, you're going to be out. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if we do see a lot of turmoil over the next few years for Bama, which is, I think, what a lot of people are anticipating, which is why people are excited. Now, the next person could come in and be the next Saban. We don't know. This could be, you know, just all for naught. And in a few years, we're looking back and going, oh, okay, well, gosh, maybe it's not, granted, I do think it's Saban, but maybe it's not just Saban. Maybe it's a great place to coach football. Really quickly, I want to go through the buyouts of the candidates we've listed so far, because that, you know, that comes into a money thing for Alabama of what they're going to have to pony up to not only pay these coaches, but what they're going to have to pay to get them. Dan Lanning's buyout is $20 million. Kalen DeBoer is 12. Dabo Swinney is 7.5. Mike Norvell, that's another name, 4 million. James Franklin, which is an interesting one. I think that'd be a dumb hire. I think he'd run them into the ground, but he's a name you could watch. His is $6 million. So Dan Lanning got a huge extension, and you know, Nike put that big buyout hurdle in there. Oregon's been burned in the past few years with coaches leaving when they get a better job in the South. I say better with quotes because, you know, I don't think Oregon's a bad job at all, especially with them going to Big Ten and having Big Ten money. But, you know, Willie Taggart left for FSU, then Mario Cristobal leaves for Miami, and then obviously now they go get Dan Lanning, and it seems like Dan Lanning is the leader in the clubhouse for the Bama job. So I would feel really bad for Oregon fans if that were to happen, and it very well could happen, but I think that's why they put that big buyout in there. But some of the other ones are very manageable, so it kind of just depends what Alabama wants to do and pony up the money-wise. We know that they're not hurting for it. They can absolutely do that if they want to. The only name that I, you know, and I'm getting trolled. Don't get me wrong. I'm getting trolled here. But the people who are throwing out Kirby Smart, his buyout's $90 million. $90 million. He's probably the only coach that's safe from getting poached. Now, you entertain that if you're Kirby. Sure, why not? But I don't think he's going to leave, nor is he going, there is Bama going to be able to justify paying that, personally, in my opinion. But all the other names, you know, are totally justifiable. Real quickly on the Vrabel thing, I live with a Patriot fan. If Vrabel doesn't end up as the next coach of New England, I think there might be riots in the street. So
I'm not sure he wants to coach over the next year, to be honest. He's up at Richland every day, ripping cigs, drinking beers. He loves it. I think he was really kind of burnt out.
He looked it.
But that's just my two cents. I mean, he was up there at Richland during the season. Like that, I don't know if a coach has ever done anything that like that. They're always in the building 24/7. And you know, 2 days before the he was going to coach against the Jaguars in the last game of the season, he was up at Richland smoking darts. So I don't know if his head's totally in it for the next year or two, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, definitely people will try to get him, but he's going to need, listen now, I'll say this. He needs a lot of talent. If he's a great coach, but he needs talent, and our GMs over the last 3-4 years weren't able to get him the talent. It's not like he's going to go to New England and immediately turn that ship around. They have less talent than the Titans do. So, you know, will he want to go to that type of a situation? I'm not sure he will. He was very calculated with how he came to Tennessee, and we had a roster that was set up at least to be compete for potential playoff spots. You know, I think New England's at least 2 or 3 years off.
What about the Glenn Schumann thing?
I honestly, You know, I don't think Bama fans would like this, would like him, because it's not a big enough name, but I think it's a fantastic hire. He went to Bama. He knows the inner workings there. He recruits his butt off. You know, like they're looking at Dan Lanning, and I get it, but Glenn Schumann is basically the next Dan Lanning, and might be better suited for the SEC than Lanning from a simple recruiting standpoint. Now, I know Lanning can recruit his butt off too, and it's not like he doesn't. He was a GA at Alabama, but you know, Schumann makes a lot of sense. You could probably get him for cheaper than Dan Lanning. And I think could be a very, only thing is he's not proven. That's the only thing. And I know that would scare Bama fans a lot, but, I think Glenn Schumann would be a fantastic hire. I hope he doesn't go that route, because I love him at Georgia, but, yeah, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. If I'm a Bama fan, I'm rooting for Lanning, probably followed by Sarkisian. Those feel, now anything is possible. Those feel like hard gets, only because they're set up very well at their current schools. To win a championship. You know, hey, if you're a Bama fan, maybe you're hoping that Sarkisian and Arch Manning are a package deal. More realistic to me feels like Kiffin. Feels like Kalen DeBoer. And feels like Schumann. And I said Schumann, and you know, our dad shot me down in the group text and said he's not ready for a job. Who cares? It kind of, granted, I do think Kirby was ready, and that's why we went and got him. You know, when Mark Richt was fine, we weren't winning championships, but you know, we were 10-2. But it was like, okay, he's going to go get a job somewhere else. I feel like maybe Bama's on that precipice too, where you take a risk on him not being a head coach before, because he's a Bama guy, and because you go, if we don't get him, someone else is, and God forbid, you know, he ends up somewhere and is winning championships, and we're like, oh my gosh, finding new coaches every few years. It's hard for me to imagine that they're going to bungle this too bad, because like I said, of how Bama is set up, it kind of feels like if they, you know, even if it's not the best situation ever, it's going to feel like a slower decline. And I say decline, Ohio State's still a good team, but you know, from the standpoint of they're not beating Michigan, they're not making it into the playoffs, they're not winning national championships, as opposed to a, you know, Tennessee, all the wheels are falling off, Auburn, all the wheels are falling off. So again, Bama fans, you've got nothing to worry about. It's just more so the torment of Saban is over. And
well, hold on now.
Okay. Nothing. Okay. Sorry. Let me hold on.
Anything to worry sorry. About. I do want to say that.
Okay.
But
let me rephrase that. I feel like it's not going to, I mean, people are out here thinking, like literally acting like they're about to go hire freaking Dan Lanning or
you brought
Butch
up the
Jones.
Patriots.
What?
You brought up the Patriots, the greatest dynasty. When that key piece leaves, it's really hard.
Now that's fair.
And even if, and I agree, I think because of the players they have on the roster, if they don't lose, if they can retain a lot of those players, keep this recruiting class, they're going to be a good, solid team again with every chance in the world to make the playoffs. Especially on the 12th team, they ought to make it, no doubt. But I do have to say, you know, they're coming back down to earth now. Saban, that's the greatest dynasty in the history of college football, I would say. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. What happens after that? You come back down to earth. Even if you win a championship in the next decade, you're probably only get one, maybe two at best.
Yeah.
So that, and that is not, they're used to every couple of years having a natty. So it is going to sting. It's going to sting, and they're going to come back down to reality more so than I think some people would like.
I hate saying this because we're supposed to be unbiased. We're not really. But let's hope. Let's hope, because here's the thing is, I would love for the next dynasty and the next chokehold on college football to be Georgia. That'd be fantastic if this opens up a window for us to be the next Alabama. Who knows? You know, but from a standpoint of, I think a lot of people are celebrating too, even if you haven't been tormented by Alabama and Saban and have to play them every year. You know, and we, like I said, Georgia doesn't even necessarily have to do that. But if you haven't been tormented by Saban, a lot of people have Alabama fatigue. A lot of people have Alabama fatigue, just like the Patriots. We keep drawing back to them, just like the Patriots. And, yes, the Patriots were more embroiled in scandal, a la the Michigan stuff that was going on this year, whether it was real or not. But it was like, oh, good, we're going to catch them because, you know, we're tired of watching the Patriots win. And so a lot of people are excited here, too, because to your point, it feels like, okay, college football is opening back up. You know, whether that opens up for somebody else to be a dynasty or whether that means we're going to, have more stories like Michigan winning the national championship, teams that haven't won in a while or ever, who knows? But it is an end of an era, Pierce, because Saban is retiring. No more do we have a four-team college football playoff. The NIL stuff is absolutely bonkers, crazy. The bowls don't mean what they used to. It's just a way different world. You know, transfers, it's basically free agency every single year. It's a way different world of college football than what we grew up with. And it's, I think, one of the harder jobs that you can have. And you know, when you want to be like up in arms, but why coaches get paid so much, that's why they get paid so much, is because of all they have to deal with and how much is on the line with football and how much money you can bring in when you have a winning football program. But yeah, it makes you wonder, Saban's 72. It makes you wonder if we're going to see coaches stick around as long as he has, because of everything and the changing landscape and stuff, where we're going to see more people like Bob Stoops who go, hey, you know, my kids are leaving the nest and I want to, you know, go see them and you know, be part of their lives. And I'm done with this coaching thing. It's going to be very interesting to see. I hope that we don't see really good coaching talent decide to hang it up earlier rather than not, because it's become so difficult. And obviously Saban's not the case. Saban has put in his years, and had a ton of success. And I think he finally looked up and he said, hey, what am I doing this for? I got nothing else to prove. I got nothing else to, you know, my mantle is full. And yeah, I could stick around and try to, you know, battle back and win another one. But every year, even though I know that they were in the Rose Bowl this year, but look at the beginning of the season. Every year it feels like they're degrading just a little bit more and getting farther and farther from that grasp. I think he saw the writing on the wall and said, hey, I don't want to be Belichick where I, you know, all of a sudden I'm the worst program. You know, I think they're technically like the third worst program in the NFL. I don't want to be like that with Alabama. I want to go out on top. I'm seeing the writing on the wall. It's harder to get back up to that mountaintop, and let's just hang it up right now. While I'm still there and still can go out the undisputed GOAT and there won't be a tarnished. Oh yeah, but the last 7 years of it was really tough. So any final thoughts there with Saban? I know there's a ton to talk about, but also we're already 30 minutes deep and I want to get into to just a quick wrap up of the national championship. Like I said, we are going to do a postmortem of the season and kind of revisit some of our stuff that the preseason predictions, as well as award some superlatives for the season. We'll do that a little later on, but we wanted to go ahead and get this out for everybody because of the nature of the breaking news. But any final thoughts, anything else we didn't touch on that you want to touch on?
No, you know, we can go ahead and move on. We could talk about this, as you know, and you're kind of, I'm sure you've kind of looked up and gone, holy cow, we've gone for 30 minutes. It feels like we've been talking for five. We could talk about this for hours and hours, as I'm sure we'll do over the next, you know, couple days to a few weeks. And then it'll be brought back up during SEC media days or when Alabama makes a hire. Last thing I will say, though, before we move on, another name that is an interesting one. I don't think it totally fits, but I could see it happening. Dan Mullen.
I said that earlier as a joke. You really think they'd hire Dan Mullen?
I mean, you could do worse than Dan Mullen. He's experienced. He took Mississippi State to number one. The only negative on him is recruiting.
Yeah.
So you need to build a staff that is able to recruit. But Alabama recruits itself so well, or that's the thought, that you get a proven head coach that knows how to play, knows how to coach offense. So
it's true.
An interesting name that I saw I don't think is that far-fetched.
Well, and you're looking at what Billy Napier's doing at Florida, and you're going, maybe Mullen wasn't the issue. But yet, I don't personally think, I think that's not necessarily at the top of their list, but I get it. If it gets down to it and they're getting told no, or it seems financially hard. I mean, Mullen has kind of done the thing that all coaches should do. He didn't jump into the next thing. He sat back. He's, you know, on the SEC network and he gets paid to be in a suit and he's waiting for the right time. I think he will be a coach again, whether or not it's going to be Alabama, unsure. Here's an interesting one. This one's a little far-fetched, but because of where he coached, but you know, I don't think he's done the worst job with UCF and he is proven. Do you think there's any way in hell they go hire Gus Malzahn?
No, I don't think so. I think because of how much he's fallen, you know, there were a few years there at Auburn where he had, you know, some good teams. And I think certainly he had better players than Auburn's had the last few years. But at the same time, he did kind of get the more out of that team than I think maybe their talent level suggested, even though, you know, but he's been part of successful teams. I just don't, the way he was fired there, the way it's going at UCF, just don't quite see it.
Also, can you imagine the fan base? That would be funny.
I thought about this. What would be, it would be a sexy hire, but what, you know, would it be beneath Alabama to go steal Brian Kelly from LSU or steal Hugh Freeze from Ole Miss? I mean, from Auburn?
No, well, God, can you imagine?
How funny would that be?
Can you imagine Auburn, Alabama, if Hugh Freeze, which granted, I understand he's not like he's won anything there, but it does seem like they're on the right path and he's saying all the right things. And obviously he's had a proven track record of having a winning program. Can you imagine Auburn, Alabama, if they went and hired Hugh Freeze at Alabama? Oh,
yeah. I mean, hey,
oh my God, that would be, I mean, they're rolling Toomer's Corner right now. I think that all of Auburn might just burn to the ground. They'd be so pissed. That would be, I mean, that would just be, you go from the highest of highs of like, okay, hey, you know, it's back to hopefully more even in the Iron Bowl. And maybe we can get back on top of the state. Then you would all of a sudden go, oh my God, be slapped. We are back to being little brothers because we can't even retain our coach. That would be wild. What was the other one you said?
Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly,
LSU.
Okay, that's interesting. And he hasn't made any kind of announcement or anything like that, but the rumor is, and it's been this way for a few years, just like Saban retiring, that Jim Harbaugh's gone. And I believe Brian Kelly is pretty actively kind of under the radar, or rather not out in the spotlight, saying he wants the Michigan job if that becomes available. So it would be interesting to see him make that jump because I think he's holding out for Michigan. But that could be a name. That could be a name. All right. Well, we'll transition here. We'll get into the Saban stuff. I will say one last thing before we get into it. With Saban retiring, and this just goes to show you, even with the changing landscape of college football, there are now only, well, there was previously five. Now there are four active coaches in college football who have won a national championship. They are Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, Jim Harbaugh, and Mack Brown. And who knows how long Jim Harbaugh will still be in college football. So that just shows you the chokehold that Saban's had is the fact that in the, you know, years he's been coaching, there's only four other coaches now who have won national championships. So that is wild.
Well, you want to hear something even crazier?
Yes.
I didn't fact check this. I can't think off the top of my head that it's wrong, but maybe I'm off. No, this is right. I'm pretty sure. You know how many, you know the list of current college football coaches that have beaten Georgia?
Now?
Yeah.
Oh.
None.
Really?
Only Saban and Mullen, right? Since 2018?
Yeah, you're right, because everybody else is, yeah, because, yeah, Mullen's gone.
So 2017, you had Malzahn, but right. Since 2018, so 5 years now. There's only two people that have been able to beat Kirby. One was, believe it or not, Dan Mullen, which could be that we brought him up as a potential, and Nick Saban. So,
well, let me say this right now. As a dog fan, Kirby Smart, you have no damn excuse anymore to not be the king of the SEC and winning SEC championships. You know what? House of Horrors, the national championship, and I'm writing checks too soon. But national championship is in Mercedes-Benz next year. If we find our way into that game and we don't win, then we need to bomb that stadium and start over because House of Horrors. All right, well, let's transition. I'm sure there'll be more Saban talk until a hire is made on this podcast. But let's transition here. We did not have much coverage for y'all throughout the bowl season. Apologies again on that if you're missing us. Sorry. But we are here to break down what happened in the playoff. Of course, we won't get into necessarily all of it. In fact, let's just talk about the championship. I was thinking to myself, maybe we'll talk about the playoffs or the semifinals as well, but let's just get into the national championship. On Monday night, the Michigan Wolverines take down the Washington Huskies 34-13. Spoiler alert, y'all didn't hear this because of the technical difficulties. I did think Washington was going to keep it close, and it really wasn't. Penix looked really off all night. And certainly Michigan had a lot to do with that, being able to pressure him. And then when he was able to finally connect with receivers, just tackling really, really well. I don't know about you, Pierce. This didn't have the most juice. I watched the whole thing, and it's easy to be ugly because of the fact that, yes, at the end of the day, we watch a lot of SEC football. I believe the SEC is the best brand of football out there. I think it's the hardest conference to play in, and I bleed red and black, and I'm a Georgia Bulldog. So, and I was salty about, you know, some of the way that things went down with the playoffs and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, this national championship was a little lackluster, but that doesn't matter because Michigan gets the win. First time since 1997, they are national champions. First time since 1948, they are undisputed national champions. So for what it's worth, and the first time they've ever won a championship game. So big monkey off their back. And I know off Harbaugh's as well. But yeah, what were your thoughts about this game? I actually know your thoughts, but I just want to hear you break it down a little bit, what your thoughts were with this game. And maybe we'll get into some of the intricacies of it, but just as you're watching it, kind of reactions.
First, I guess what I'll say is congrats to Michigan, getting the monkey off their back. They are now the superior team in the Big Ten, and that's got to feel good with the Ohio State crazies, you know, for now, at least in the rearview mirror. So I know how it is to get the monkey off your back. Obviously, they had beaten Ohio State the last couple of years, but to cement it with a national championship, you know, has got to feel good for that program and that university. Honestly, I really hesitate to say some of the things that I want to say because I feel like I might be overreacting. Once upon a time, I actually, you know, growing up, really enjoyed Michigan football. I think with all the cheating allegations and the Harbaugh suspensions and just the hoopla that's come from it, you know, they've kind of soured on me, but, so I, to be quite honest, this was the first national championship that I can remember that I really was not all that interested in watching. A part of that was I was so on board. I mean, I had one of my biggest bets of my life on Michigan on Monday. It was a very easy thing to see. You know, Washington came off their best game of the season against Texas, who's a very good team. And what they did to Texas in that game and what they were able to do was pretty surprising to me. And Michigan does it better on defense than Texas does. So I knew Washington was going to struggle moving the ball. You know, they would have to hit a couple big plays and really hope that Michigan had an off day. You know, when you looked at the Texas game, you know, Texas, for some reason, Texas decided to throw the ball a lot more than I think they should have. They were averaging 7 yards on the ground. And I know some of that was because they got behind and so they had to come back. But they had so much success on the ground. There was a clear and easy pathway for Michigan and what they want to do. Listen, for all the people, I know Harbaugh came out after the Michigan game and said that J.J. McCarthy is the greatest quarterback in the history of Michigan football. I honestly think that is the craziest statement that I've ever heard from a college football coach because it is so far from the truth. I could name two or three off the top of my head that are better than him right now. Listen, I've seen it enough this year. It's not taking away from Michigan, but I've seen it enough. They don't want to put the ball in this kid's hand because he's a liability. He's a solid QB at best. And I'm just being frank with y'all. He threw the ball 10 times in the game against Washington. I know they didn't have to throw the ball. They haven't really had to throw the ball all year. But if he was good, they'd still throw the ball more. They threw it 18 times. He had 140 yards. But you just knew the ground game was going to have success in this one. And the best unit in college football is the defensive line for Michigan. This is the same type of talent that Georgia's had the last 2 years, in particular 2 years ago when I think the best defense of all time or one of the top three best of all time played for Georgia and won that national championship in 2021. The defensive line is so good, and everybody flows off of that. They've got solid linebackers. They've got pretty solid DBs, but it starts with that unit, and I knew they were going to have something to prove. You've seen it. Georgia did it to Michigan in 2021. The Joe Moore Award winners were Michigan. They were very cocky. The linemen came out dressed in, you know, in attire, and Georgia just took them to the woodshed. And obviously Michigan got the Joe Moore Award last year. TCU came out fired up, took them to the woodshed. Washington, Joe Moore Award winners, got taken to the woodshed. You knew Michigan was going to take that personally. I am a little bit shocked. I don't know about you. I thought it was a really boring game. I'm sure last year was more
boring.
I'm sure last year was more boring because obviously it was a blowout from the get-go. But we were at that game. I was blackout in the first quarter, so I don't really remember the game. So, you know, I digress there. But I thought it was a pretty boring game. But what, for as impressive as Michigan is, why do they play with their food? They could have easily dominated that game, and they let Washington hang around, and Washington had no business being in that game, and they even played poorly. It's one thing if they caught fire and, you know, hit a couple deep balls and got back in the game that way. They didn't do anything. So it's like, it's just, it's, and Michigan does that constantly. And it's kind of one of the criticisms I've had of them is good teams go out there and dominate. And yeah, I'll say this was a dominating performance because Washington, I don't think is a top team in the country, to be honest, a top two team in the country. That could really, especially the way they play, could rival Michigan. But go do what Georgia did. Go out there and dominate. And blow them out and have your players eating chicken wings on the sidelines in the second half. Like, I don't get it. They made it harder than it had to be, and they've done that so often this year for a team that's very talented. But with all that being said, impressive season for them, fantastic season, amazing when you look back on it. That Harbaugh, you know, missed half the season due to suspensions, and they were still able to just kind of keep plugging along. Obviously, you know, their schedule set up favorably. But listen, I've seen teams in the past that have had weak schedules get knocked off in the big games because they haven't had that nail biter that they needed to kind of learn and figure out how to dig deep. They didn't seem to need that. And so you got to give them props for that. They're the national champs. Wish they had, you know, obviously gone through a certain team that I think could have given them the most trouble. But They deserved it. They won the national championship, and they're a pretty darn good team. But I refuse to say that McCarthy's a top quarterback.
Yeah, and to your point, I thought it was super boring, but I was.
Can you tell I'm bitter?
Yeah.
I know. I used to like Michigan, but they just are. Anyway.
Well, and I think there's other reasons for why the bitterness. I'm bitter because there are some very obnoxious Michigan people in my circle. Which, oh my God, the Dave Portnoys of the world, the Michigan fans who are saying, oh, that's it. We killed Nick Saban. We're the reason he's retiring. It's like, okay, shut up. You're having your moment in the sun. But I agree with you. You caught a little bit of a break with the, you know, yes. At first everybody was like, oh my gosh, they have to play Alabama. Yeah. It's the most down Alabama team I've seen in years. They didn't have to play Georgia, who, yes, biased, but I think is the best team in the nation. And at the end of the day, was the best team in the nation. They didn't have to play Texas, who matches up better with them. So they really caught a lot of breaks. But it was a very boring game, but I was locked in the whole time because I just kept thinking to myself, well, Michigan's not doing anything that makes me think that Washington can't get back in. It's just that Washington wasn't able to put it all together at any given moment of the game to be able to do that. I did send out a tweet, and I saw that you liked it, that there was a little bit of like, neither of these teams want to win. And then finally at the end, there were some blown calls and stuff that changed the tide of the game towards Michigan. And it was like, oh, okay. Like the refs finally were like, oh, we're going to decide then. And that's not to take away flowers from Michigan. What you did, you still won a national championship. All the controversy aside, no one's ever going to take it away. Even if this championship gets vacated, which who knows if that's going to happen or not. I don't know. If it happens, probably like 5 years from now, and who cares? But the point is, no one can take away what happened on Monday night. No one can take away a 15-0 season. And congrats to you. But the conversation I'm seeing about how this I saw something that said this defense versus 2019 LSU, who you got? Please. You're not even the most talented defense in the college football playoff era. Please. So anyways, yes, I agree with you. It's hard not to be bitter. You know, I know that everybody finds ways to cheat, and it's all about who cheats better and doesn't get caught. But you got caught. And it's hard to be happy for a fan base who not only got caught there, but there's been a bit of witch hunt with Harbaugh, right or not. Maybe he's just really bad at skirting the rules, or maybe they're doing things that are just blatantly cheating. Point is, it feels like every time that another investigation wraps up, another one starts about Jim Harbaugh, that you go, God, I can't really be happy for you. I can't really be happy for you. It's wild to me that we have a national championship that the coach shouldn't coach for six of the games. That's wild to me. But, you know, hey, like I said, you can't take their flowers. You still won a national championship. It was cool at the end of the day. Now that I've kind of settled a little bit, we've got 48 hours in between us. It was cool to see a fan base who hasn't had that success. You know, 2 years ago, we're sitting there, we're ending a 41-year drought. And it's cool to see a fan base get back to the top. But I wouldn't get used to it. I think you caught a lot of breaks here. And I think it feels like the leader in the clubhouse, if Jim Harbaugh leaves, will maybe be promoting Sherrone Moore. That feels like a good hire. Who knows if Brian Kelly wants it. But it kind of feels like, hey, you got all the breaks. Enjoy this while you can. Because I agree with you. You didn't have a good quarterback. I mean, not only – here's the thing. Mental health is not a joke. Mental health is very important. Go to therapy. Talk to somebody if you need help. Reach out. But good Lord, did we have to hear about his damn – J.J. McCarthy's damn depression and anxiety and mental battles the whole game?
It was unbelievable. Did you hear the thing? Holly Rowe must have said it 20 times.
Oh, my God.
She would talk about – so J.J. McCarthy does this routine where he brushes his teeth with his left hand and stares at himself like saying, you're the man, because it stimulates the alpha brain mentality effect that his blah, blah, blah has taught.
It's unbelievable.
Like, give me a break.
Unbelievable.
This Alabama doesn't even get quite this much of praise. It really was ridiculous. But at the end of the day, that team, specifically that defense, was super, super fun to watch. They were impressive. A kid from this area, Ravenwood High School, Junior Colson, is the starting linebacker on that team. Innsworth High School, my alma mater, has an outside linebacker that's committed to Michigan for next year. So it is cool to see some guys from the state of Tennessee that are you having success up there with Michigan. And I think that – I do think that I think that in 3, 4, 5 years, a lot of these – fans that might be a little bit swayed by some of the antics that went on in Ann Arbor this season. You know, I think Harbaugh leaving will be a big factor. We'll look back and go, you know, damn, I'm happy Michigan won. I'm glad they were able to get that monkey off their back. I know that's a great feeling. Right now, it feels a little strange, but, you know, listen, they were at worst, a top two team. And maybe that's some of our bias showing, but I truly believe that, that there was another team that had a good shot. And listen, Bama didn't play all that great. And I don't think Bama has had the team that they've had in the past, and they hung with them. So it's hard for me even to say that. And also you think about it, Ohio State didn't have their best team in the last 5 or 6 years. And they were driving late and had a chance in Ann Arbor to take the lead there. So, you know, there were some other good teams. It was a very fun year. It was a year that had a lot of good teams. You know, normally we only get one or two. I feel like there were really 4 or 5 that were good enough. I think Texas could have put up a decent fight against Michigan. So I think it was a fun year, a very talented year. I think the transfer portal and NIL has evened things out a little bit more. Give kudos to Michigan. They, you know, listen, I think about it in this terms. I think about 2021 for Georgia and teams of the past, like Clemson, you know, when they won it their first year with Deshaun Watson, and you name it, LSU with, you know, all these teams had the best statistics and they were and had some of the eye-popping numbers that go along with national championship teams. So when you look at this team, you go, yep, national championship, that backs that up. You know, I know there are other teams that had eye-popping numbers, but a lot of the key numbers stood out for Michigan this year, especially with the eye test. And listen, they persevered, and I'm sure it was a pretty tough year. I'm sure it was a massive exhale, as it should have been, to get that monkey off the back and you know, just to kind of silence all the haters. That's got to be a good feeling.
Well, and you've been in the playoff now for 3 years. You finally won a playoff game. That monkey's off your back, and now it's like, oh gosh, if you're gonna win, now's the time to win. It feels like this is the year. This is the, you know, the moment. So to your point, a giant exhale. But yeah, I do agree. It kind of was interesting. Some of the accolades that Michigan was getting pregame. Anyways, I won't get into that. We've already talked about the J.J. McCarthy stuff. I will say the boy knows where the spotlight is. He knows where the camera is. But yeah, I mean, who knows if Harbaugh stays? You know, the rumors have been hot for a while about him going to the NFL. Certainly feels like he's done what he wanted to do at Michigan now. But, you know, J.J. isn't good enough for the NFL yet. Maybe he improves, but he'll be back. You know, maybe Harbaugh decides to run it back. That could be the case. It does stink to your point about how good the playoff games were, and you know, this year in general felt with it could have been anybody's game at any given point. It does stink that this is 1 year short of the 12-team playoff. And I'm not an advocate for the 12-team playoff, I'll be honest with you. I think that we're jumping too far in. I think we could have gone to 8 if we really wanted to expand. And I do think 4 is a little short, but I think we could have gone to 8. But anyways, we could have gone to 6 for that matter. But point is, it does stink that this year we didn't get it, because this would have been the year that chaos would have absolutely ensued, in my opinion. And who knows what next year looks like. But, you know, NIL, transfer portal, all of that certainly seems to be turning college football into anybody's game. You know, and the coach that we talked about at the top of the podcast, you know, was able to, without those things, have such a chokehold on the sport that I don't know if we'll ever see that again. So Michigan gets theirs. Maybe we get another, you know, first time in a long time winner, or first time ever winner. If you're Washington, you got to feel bad if you're Washington. Penix is gone. You know, I don't actually know their roster like the back of my hand, so I can't tell you, you know, what it looks like. The receivers were really good all season long until the national championship, and they were dropping things left and right. I'm not sure what talent they you know, returned, but anytime you make it that close to a national title and you don't win it, you go, oh my God, are we ever going to be back here? You know, when we lost in the 2018 national championship after the 2017 season, that felt like, oh my God, this is it. And we lost it. There was a little bit of like, oh my God, are we ever going to get back here? Now, I felt pretty confident, but I'm not sure if Washington fans felt confident.
Little different, but I know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, listen, if you're Washington, I think you got to be a lot more confident with where your program is in answering that question than TCU fans do after last year. I mean, that, you know, Washington's actually won a national championship in the last 35 years. So, you know, DeBoer obviously has done good work there. They do lose a lot. You got to find a competent quarterback, a guy that's going to be able to, you know, make plays like Michael Penix Jr. did. And you got to find some receivers, man. But, I mean, this team will still have some solid seasons ahead. Maybe not next year. They may be a bit down next year. I think they were pretty senior-laden. But, listen, new era going over to the Big Ten. So you never know. You might be able to pull some more players, you know, from other areas that you're not used to recruit from. So got to feel better than TCU did last year. That's all I'll say about that. But, yeah. They'll definitely be a little bit. They'll lose a good bit, and it'll sting.
Felt like we were on pace for another blowout like last year, but it ended up being more of a game than last year. So at least there was that. I don't really have anything else to say about it. You know, national title is Michigan. We turn the page now to the next season. We're going to do one more wrap up of the season just because, you know, I think we need to get into, I like to look back before we look ahead. But we will have some off season stuff and, you know, you start, I'm already looking forward to next season. I'm already looking forward to everything. It's the longest off season in all of sports, and it absolutely sucks. So, you know, right now I'm okay. I'm exhaling. We still have the NFL. But come March, I'm going to be really sad. But hey, let me tell you, the biggest fumble, and I'm not even a big gamer, but I felt bad for everybody who is. The biggest fumble of the night NCAA sports announcement for the video.
That was ridiculous. That was a big tease. That probably caused millions of people to watch the game that wouldn't have otherwise. That was wrong. That was seriously wrong.
I think a lot of people were watching specifically for that.
That's what I said. Millions of people probably tuned in. I think 28 million watched the game. I'm being a little bit facetious there, but I bet you there were hundreds of thousands of people that tuned in to see that trailer, and they got duped. And shame on them for doing that. That's just pathetic. Drop the damn game. Come on.
Yeah, I don't really know why they were toying with everybody there, but that was funny. Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see it at this point, I'll be honest with you. All right, well, that's going to do it here for us and our Saban emergency talk, as well as 30 minutes about the national championship. Don't leave us. Stay tuned. Like I said, we will have off-season stuff. I'm toying with a couple of really cool ideas. We'll see if I have the time and the energy to pull it off. But just make sure you're subscribed, because this is the time of year where we're not dropping regular podcasts. And if you're not subscribed, you're not used to checking each week for things. And you might miss something. You don't want to miss something. So, oh my God.
Whoa.
Choking on
spit. Right?
No. Yeah, hold on. Whew. Like, breathe in.
Hey, by the way, I'm seeing reports, not solid reports, but I'm seeing some people tweeting out and stuff like that. There's some rumblings that Justice Haynes may be looking to transfer back to Georgia. Apparently, people are making a push Caleb Downs. Yeah.
Well, I was posting that video of Caleb Downs after the SEC championship.
Mason Short, who's a top 7 offensive tackle from the state of Georgia, who is committed to Alabama for next year, has now backed off his pledge and is visiting Georgia this week. So,
I mean, you'd be dumb if you're not locked in. You would be dumb to not entertain it. Who knows how you'll actually follow through with that? But you would be dumb, especially because it's like, that's why I think it'll be very quick when we find out who they hire, because you got to retain that. You can't. You've got 30 days to transfer. I think you got to get somebody in there quick who can kind of call everything, because Shedeur Sanders also has been tweeting out Alabama fans come through and stuff like that. And it's like the feeding frenzy has begun. So I don't think Saban left them in a place where they don't have a plan. Like, they might not have fully 100% vetted everything out, but I don't think it was, I don't think with everything and the loyalty he has to Alabama, they don't have, you know, discussions that have already been happening. And I think it'll be very quick. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss anything. Share this with a friend. We'd love to grow this podcast and make the next year even better. And subscribe, or I'm sorry, follow us on social media at Bragging Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And until we talk to you next, y'all have a fantastic one. We should be back maybe next week. Who knows? We'll figure out our off-season schedule. Make sure you're following along. But that is going to do it for us. Until next time, I'm Madison.
And I'm Pierce. Roll Tide and stay blessed, y'all.
Oh, God. Don't say Roll Tide ever again in my presence.